Question for you this morning. What is something in your life that you feel like you just have to do? That's kind of a broad question. There's probably a lot of different answers. It just popped in your mind when I said that, right? Some of us, we have things that we just like feel compelled to do. I don't know. I feel like this is just a junior high boy thing. But I know at least in later elementary school, all through junior high, I was probably still doing it in high school. Every time I walked through a door, I had to slap the door frame. And when I was really small, which was a lot of my growing up years, it was, I'm jumping and touching, right? And in our house that I grew up in, we had white, painted white walls, and there were just marks all above. We had a door that went from the living room down the hallway to where the bedrooms were. And on both sides of that door frame, there were these fingerprints all over. Because every time I walked through, I'd run and jump and touch, run and jump and touch. When I got taller, I was like, ooh, I don't have to jump anymore, but I'm still touching. And I'd even do that at school. Do they do that at school now? Some of you guys in education, they still do. Okay. There was a groan that came from the crowd. Yes, I do. And that's what I would do, And when I got to high school, the school that I went to had a couple hallways like really low ceilings. And just walking all the way down the hall and touching the ceiling, I was a giant, at least in my own mind. But I'm saying all that, like, I had to. Like, it was a compulsion, I had to touch the door frame when I walked through the door. There's something about, like, it just felt like it was something I needed to do. Do you have things like that? And there's some things that we say, I have to do this. It's a habit. It's something that we're used to. It's something that we don't even necessarily think about. It's just something that our minds or our bodies just kind of do. This is just the way I do things. This is my habit. And again, for some of us, it's more of a compulsion. I mean, there's some of us that we can only brush our teeth certain ways. We have to do certain things when we sit down at our desk. There's a certain routine that we have to go through. If I just went through just your morning routine of getting ready every morning, I would almost guarantee that most of you have a routine that you go through. And if something throws that off, it's like, oh, my whole morning is thrown off. I can't function right now. But those are habits, and those are compulsions. What I'm talking about this morning, what I want us to be thinking about this morning, is the things that I feel like I have to do, the things that are weighing on my heart, the burden that I feel on my heart, the feeling that I feel a calling, I feel pulled to action, to do something. I mean, let's think about just, this year. Last month, our country celebrated our 250th birthday, right? 250 years ago, our founding fathers felt pulled, felt like they had to do something in response to what they felt was oppressive things happening from the British government, right? They felt called to create this new country. I mean, 60 years ago, there were a bunch of people here in Northwest Arkansas who felt a calling, who felt something laid on their hearts to start a church camp here in Northwest Arkansas that became Green Valley Bible Camp. Those are the kind of things that I'm talking about. Are there things in your life that you feel like I have to do this? It's something I'm compelled to do. And psychologists and counselors call it intrinsic drive or intrinsic motivation. There's something inside of me that is moving me to do something. It's this urge it's this emotional urge that I have to take action. It's this pull that I have to do something. And the reason that I feel that call, the reason that I feel that pull, that sense of that urge, is because whatever that particular action is aligns in some way with my values, or it's something that I consider to be important. And so I have this feeling, I feel like I have to do this. I feel called to do this. We might describe that as having a calling or having a sense of purpose. And if you think about it, there's lots of different reasons why we might have, that particular feeling. Sometimes we feel called because we compare it to what other people are doing in their lives. We see the jobs they have or the actions that they're taking, the things that are happening in somebody else's life. I'm like, oh, I like that. I want to do that. And we feel called to do that particular thing, or at least pulled in that direction, right? Sometimes let's just call it what it is. Sometimes it's selfishness. I feel called to do this particular thing because it's going to benefit me. It's going to help me out. It's going to make me look better. It's going to make people think more of me. It's going to elevate my status, whatever it is. And we may not articulate it that way, but that's really the sense that we have. This is why we feel pulled in this direction. Some of us feel called to do something or pulled to do something or sense, you know, this urge to do something because it's something new. We have that adventuresome spirit. And we like to try new things. And so somebody shows us this thing or we discover this certain thing. And like, oh, man, I have to do that. I have to try that. Some of us, it just feels like it's just the right thing to do. There's something that needs to be done. I have the ability to do it. And I feel this desire to get it done, to be a part of it. And this could apply to a whole bunch of different things, right? I mean, some of us feel a calling to make a career change. Some of us feel a calling to, I don't know, is it a calling to want to start dating a particular person? Maybe. There's at least an urge there, right? Some of us have an urge to have a child or have another one. Some of y'all are going, nope, don't have that urge at all. Not another one, at least. Some of us, you know, had this sense of calling, the sense of purpose to volunteer for something, to do something, either here at this church or something in the community. We see a need and we see maybe it's not being responded to at all, or maybe other people are responding to it and we want to join in, but it's this desire that I have, this urge that I have to be a part of it. Some of us have this sense of calling to be giving more, to donate more to things that are happening in our community or even to this church. And so I'm saying all that to ask you again, do you know what that feeling's like? Do you know what it feels like to have a calling? Do you know what it's like to have something that's on your heart, that's important, that you want to be a part of, that you want to keep doing, or that you want to try maybe even for the first time? There's just something there, and you can't fully describe it. You can't fully define it, but you sense it. You feel it. You know it. There's something here that is just weighing on my heart. It's this burden. And it's not necessarily a painful thing. Sometimes it is. But a lot of times it's just like I just feel it. It is a weight that I'm carrying that I want to do something with. And here's why this matters. Because a lot of times that weight, that burden that's on our heart originates from God. There's certain actions that God is leading us to. There's certain opportunities that God is putting in front of us. There are things that God is calling us to do. It's a sense of purpose. It's a sense of meaning. It's an action that we see that we have the opportunity to take. And the question is, are we going to do something? Are we going to do something with it? If I feel this burden, if I see the action I can take, if I see the opportunity, am I going to do anything with it? That's what we're talking about today. That's what we're going to talk about the next few weeks. It's not just, I mean, recognizing when that burden is on our hearts, when we feel that weight in our hearts, when we feel that urge to do something, but to actually do something and what that looks like, what it means for us to take action like that. And we see, I mean, we've seen it. We've seen people have that burden on their hearts and do something with it, even in this church family. I mean, well over a decade ago, there were a whole bunch of people that had a sense of calling, that had something that God put on their hearts to create a new church family on the western side of Bentonville. And here we are today with the Flagstone Church. There's a sense of calling that I guarantee you every one of us that's on staff has to be called to ministry, to walk away from other jobs that might have, you know, different salaries or different benefits or things like that, because we have this sense of calling. This is where I'm supposed to be. This is the church family I'm supposed to be with. These are the things that God has given me the gifts and the abilities to do, and here's the opportunities to do them. I mean, even like this last week, we handed out, hundreds of pairs of shoes to people in our community because of the funds that were raised from our Jackrabbit 5K. And the Jackrabbit 5K came about because a couple of people had this burden on their hearts, this calling to somehow help our community. And they like to be a part of races and run races, and that would be a good way to raise some money, and let's combine those things together. But it's a sense of calling, a sense of purpose. The people that are part of it now, that are leading it now, they still have that sense of calling. We have people in our community that don't have shoes. What can we do about that? We're doing something. You see it all the time through Scripture too, where God puts something on somebody's heart. God puts this urge, this desire, this need, this burden on people's hearts, and they choose to do something with it. There's a guy named Ezra who, after God's people had been taken into captivity and then been allowed to return to their homeland, and they'd rebuilt the temple, and Ezra was a priest, and he wanted to go and become the priest for the people that returned back home to Jerusalem. But he needed help with that, and he talked to the king of the Persian Empire about getting supplies and about getting help in order to make that happen. And it says in Ezra chapter 7 that God put it on the king's heart to send materials with Ezra. It wasn't just Ezra's desire. There was something that God put on the king's heart to make that happen. There's one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament is about a king named Jehu. And Jehu gets anointed king over Israel, and he has this desire to purge idolatry out of the kingdom of Israel. They've been worshiping different idols for a while, and he gets rid of all that and gets rid of all the people who had anything to do with idol worship, and even tries to destroy the royal family that was in power before him. But he calls it in 2 Kings chapter 10, he says, this is my zeal for the Lord. This is my enthusiasm. This is my excitement to do this because it's something that God had put on his heart. Paul even says to the Corinthian church in the book of 2 Corinthians, he talks about how much he cares about them and how much he worries about them. And he mentions in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, a guy named Titus, and said, Titus, God has put it on Titus's heart to have the same concern for you that I do. That's just a handful of examples, folks. You go through Scripture, you see all the time God putting a burden, putting a weight, putting some kind of need on people's hearts and calling them to do something. And we're going to look at one of those characters today and for the next few weeks. And one of those specific characters is a guy named Nehemiah. Maybe you've heard of Nehemiah before. Maybe this is the first time you've ever heard of Nehemiah. There's a book in the Bible called Nehemiah. It kind of tells us his story. And so you're welcome to turn there. It's in probably about the middle of your Old Testament. If you want to go to your Bible apps and find Nehemiah, we're going to be talking about him. I want to give you a little bit of background information on Nehemiah first. So this is hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And God's people had been in captivity. They had sinned so much against God for so often and ignored his prophets and ignored God's trying again and again to not only forgive his people, but get them back on track and get them living their lives the way they wanted them to. And finally, he allowed them to be conquered by the Babylonian Empire. And so the Babylonians came and destroyed the capital city, Jerusalem. They destroyed God's temple. They destroyed the city itself. They broke down all the walls, and they captured most of the people of the kingdom of Judah and took them hundreds of miles away to Babylon, where they resided for 70 years. And then the Persian Empire took over the Babylonian Empire, and Cyrus was the king of the Persian Empire, and he allowed a group of people to go back, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. And it took them a while to do that. I mean, part of it was just it was hard work to do, and there wasn't a whole lot of them. And part of it was there were other people that were working against them and didn't want them to do that. Part of it was they just kind of got distracted and lazy. They even had prophets show up and go, hey, finish the job. Took them years to do, but they finally finished it. They finished the temple, and they began worshiping God there. But they're still just kind of living in the area and living in some of the old houses and living in, you know, in the land around the city of Jerusalem for years, for decades. Almost another 70 years passes, and we find this guy, Nehemiah. And Nehemiah, we find out, is in the palace of the king. He's a cupbearer to the king, which means if the king wanted a cup of wine, Nehemiah's the one to bring it to him. But he's also, as cupbearer, he is the wine taster. In other words, he's going to taste it first. If anybody's trying to poison the king, Nehemiah goes down first. He's going to be the tester to see if anybody's done anything to this wine. Now, there might be some perks to that job. Get a sip of wine every once in a while. you know. But also, it's not just that he's just handing a dish to the king and taking the dirty glass away. Because he is in such an intimate position with the king, he probably becomes one of the king's advisors. He's there when the king is meeting with different people. He understands the discussions that go through, like, you know, policy making and making laws and all those kinds of things. He's really close to the king. We find out in Nehemiah chapter 1 that word comes to Nehemiah that the city of Jerusalem is still basically a pile of rubble. The walls are still completely torn down. And he's so moved by that that he chooses to do something about it. And he gets materials from the king. He gets letters of permission from the king. And he and a group of other people go all the way over to Jerusalem, hundreds of miles away. And they work on rebuilding the wall. And they build the whole wall around the city of Jerusalem. They build it back up to where it was before in less than 2 months. And it's this amazing thing that Nehemiah accomplishes. So that's the background that I want you to see. And here's some things I want you to see about Nehemiah very quickly. Number one, Nehemiah probably had never been to Jerusalem. We're far enough away, you know, from the destruction of Jerusalem that Nehemiah was probably born within the Persian Empire. He's probably never been to Jerusalem before. He's heard about it. Maybe parents, probably grandparents, had told him stories about what the city used to look like, what the temple used to be like, why they're in Babylon where they are now. But he probably never actually seen it before. He just heard about it. The second thing you know about Nehemiah is he probably had no previous experience in wall building. Like, that probably wasn't his job. He probably wasn't an architect or an engineer. As far as we know, all he knows for sure is how to take a cup of wine and hand it to the king. We know that. We don't know that he had any other experience in knowing how to repair, much less build a wall. But here's the other thing we know about Nehemiah. He probably hadn't been in Jerusalem. He probably wasn't a skilled wall builder. But Nehemiah definitely had a burden. There was something that was weighing on Nehemiah's heart. There was something that was compelling him to take action. There was something that he had to do. And it wasn't just a fleeting feeling. It wasn't just a passing fancy. It was something that Nehemiah knew, that he was convinced that God had put it on his heart to do. So as I said, in Nehemiah chapter 1, his brother has traveled to Jerusalem, has come back, and so he asks him, what's the city look like? What's going on with God's people over there in Jerusalem? And his brother tells him, the city, the walls are still completely collapsed. The gates are burned. It still looks like a destroyed city. And Nehemiah's reaction to that in verse 4 is, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Now, he doesn't use the phrase here that this is something God put on his heart, but look at the words that Nehemiah uses here. I was moved. I was moved to tears. For days I am weeping. I'm not eating anything. I am so upset about this city that I haven't even been to. But I know that's where God's people used to live. I know that's the place that God promised for his people. I know that that's where the temple is, where people go to meet God. And for it to be in shambles, for it to be in rubble, it was so moving. It was a weight that Nehemiah felt in his heart. He felt it so much, he had to do something. You go to the next chapter, in chapter 2, when Nehemiah actually shows up with the building materials and with some other people and with some soldiers. And he goes around just to see, what all needs to be done in the city. What all needs to be done with the walls. And he specifically says here in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 12, I set out during the night with a few others. I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. Nehemiah is convinced, this is the thing that needs to be done. We need to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. We need to start by rebuilding the walls. And I know it. I'm convinced that this is what God is calling me to do. This isn't something I came up with on my own. This is something God has put on my heart. I have to do this. I have to take action. It's not a feeling that's going away. This is something from God. So again, here's my question for you and me. Is there something Is there something right now in this moment that God has put on your heart? Is there a burden that's weighing on my heart? Is there something that God has caused me to feel compelled by right now? Is there some project that I feel like I need to be a part of? Is there some area where I feel like, man, I just need to volunteer. I need to volunteer here at Flagstone. I know there's different opportunities to serve, and I need to do it. I feel this sense of calling to do it. Is there something out in the community? Are there some nonprofits or some organizations that you're like, I see what they're doing, and they're doing good things, and they're meeting a need, and I feel this sense of calling to be a part of that? Is there a sense of urgency that you feel in sharing your faith? And it's awkward and it's weird and I don't know exactly what to say, but I know this coworker of mine, this neighbor of mine, this family member of mine needs to hear about Jesus, or at least needs to hear what Jesus has been doing in my life. Is there a hard conversation that needs to be had? Are there some things I need to, some bridges I need to mend, some things I need to share with this person that I care about, or this coworker? We need to hash through some things. We need to work out some things. Is that what's on my heart? Do I have a heart to start giving more? I'm recognizing God has blessed me with a lot of stuff, and I'm doing too much of just holding on to those things for myself and holding on to those material possessions for myself. And I feel this sense, I feel this desire to share that with other people. It's a burden that's on my heart. Is there something just about me personally? Is there a habit that I need to change? Is there an addiction that I need to let go of? Is there something positive that I need to start? And I've been thinking about it. I've been talking about it, but do I feel the sense of urgency? I've got to do something about that. Is there anything, folks? I don't know what's on your heart right now. I'm asking you to think about yourself right now in this moment. Is there anything that God is burdening your heart with? And if there's not right now, okay. Has there been something in the past and you didn't do anything with it? Or maybe if it's not burdening your heart right now, just know if you stay connected with God, God's going to put something there. There's going to be a desire to be involved in something. There's going to be a pull. There's going to be a call to do something. So what do we do with that? When I get that feeling, when I sense that God is calling me to something, what do I do? Let me give you some things to do real quick, and we'll wrap up. First thing I need to do is stop making excuses. First thing I need to do is stop making excuses. It is so easy for me to see some area where I need to get involved, some area where I need to take action, even in my own life, something that I need to do different, and at least feel somewhat moved to do something. But then almost immediately start coming up with all the reasons why I can't, or I shouldn't, or I just won't. I start saying things to myself, or maybe even to other people, I just don't have the time. I've never done that before. That's not really my gift. No one's doing it with me. I don't want to do it by myself, and no one else will do it with me. I don't know how to do that. I haven't been through the training. I don't know exactly what all it would take. So why even mess with it? I tried that in the past, and it failed miserably. So I don't want to go through that again. I'm too young. I'm too old. The list could go on, couldn't it? Of all the different excuses that we offer. And I don't bring that up in trying to induce any kind of guilt. I've done the same thing. There are things that I recognize. I open my eyes and see, here's this opportunity to do something for God. Not just for Him, it's something that I feel called to do. I feel this burden on my heart. But, and then I start coming up with my excuses. If you go there in Nehemiah chapter 1, that very first chapter, Nehemiah hears about the city of Jerusalem. He's upset about it, he mourns about it, and he starts praying to God because he's wanting to do something about it. And there's this long prayer that he has to God that's listed there in Nehemiah chapter 1. And right before you get to chapter 2, there's this one sentence that you almost breeze right past and don't even pay attention to. But Nehemiah says in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 11, I was cupbearer to the king. And then he goes on into chapter 2. Now, he might have mentioned that because he wants the reader to understand why he felt comfortable approaching the king with all his requests for materials and permission to go and all those kinds of things. Because he had that kind of relationship with him. He was the cupbearer. And so the king knew who he was and they had a good relationship. Maybe that's it. I like to think that Nehemiah is using just this one sentence to kind of demonstrate to the reader and even to himself, I'm only a cupbearer to the king, but I'm going to do something anyway. You see what I'm saying? I mean, here's Nehemiah. He's just a cupbearer. He's like, he doesn't build things. He's not an engineer. He's not a skilled laborer. He's not an architect. But, and he's telling you that, I'm just a cupbearer, but I'm not going to use that as an excuse. Why? Because it's something God's put on my heart. And folks, if I'm going to do the thing that God is calling me to do, if I'm going to take action in the direction that God is leading, I've got to stop making excuses. Number two, I got to make a plan. Just because God has put something on my heart and just because God is leading me in a certain direction does not mean I don't have to take the time to make a plan for how I'm going to accomplish that thing. I can still have a plan for how I'm going to make that happen, how I'm going to do the thing that I feel God is calling me to do. So maybe that involves doing some research, gathering some information. If I feel like God is putting something on my heart to have a conversation with somebody, I rehearse it ahead of time. I might even write some things down and kind of have a little bit of a script to make sure that I say the things that need to be said and don't say the things that don't need to be said. If I know somebody who has experience in that particular thing that I feel called to do, I go ask them for advice, maybe even to come along with me. But I make a plan. That's what Nehemiah did. Go through chapter 2 and you see Nehemiah had a plan for this whole thing. He talked to the king about getting materials. He talked to the king about how much time the king would allow him to be gone. He talked to the king about having letters because he knew ahead of time that the people that were living in the area around Jerusalem were going to be mad that they're rebuilding the walls of the city. So he talked to the king, got letters ahead of time. He gathered people together to go be with him and bring the materials with him. And then he even, as we already said, mentioned a minute ago, he goes around when he gets to the city, he rides around on a horse and sees where all the damage is and what repairs need to be made. Throughout this whole thing that Nehemiah feels called to do, feels pulled to do, feels led by God to do, he still makes a plan. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 13, it says that he was examining the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, its gates, which had been destroyed by fire. Nehemiah didn't just show up to Jerusalem and go, all right, let's get some bricks, let's get some cement, let's get to work. He made a plan first, which probably helped him stay motivated to go ahead and do what God was leading him to do. So stop making excuses, make a plan. Number three, get some help. Don't feel like you have to do this on your own. Even if it's something that God has put on my heart, I can still ask other people to help me with this particular burden, with this particular action. Sometimes just to go to them for advice. Sometimes to ask them to come along and help me do whatever it is that I'm being led to do. Maybe I'm just needing some insight. Maybe somebody just needs to show me the things that I'm not thinking about. But I can get some help. Again, that's what Nehemiah did. He goes to the people that are already living in Jerusalem, says, I'm here, and we're going to rebuild the walls, and I've got a plan in place, and I feel like this is what God has called me to do. But it's not Nehemiah going, okay, I'm going to rebuild the wall around this entire city by myself. He shares what God has put on his heart with other people, and what's their reaction? Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 18. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king said to me, and they replied, let's start. Let's start rebuilding. And so they began this good work. Nehemiah got some help. And side note, these were not all skilled builders either. Some of these people had no labor skills. Matter of fact, one of them was a perfume maker. And he rebuilt an entire section of the wall, he and his family. But they were so moved by what had moved Nehemiah that they had a heart to help. So stop making excuses. Make a plan. Get some help. This next thing is very important. I need to check my source. Here's what I mean by that. And maybe I should have said this from the beginning. But I need to check the source of what this, where this burden, this urge, this calling is coming from. Because sometimes with selfish intentions, sometimes with the purest of intentions. There are those of us who want to be a part of a particular action or make a certain decision or have a certain conversation with somebody. And I will convince myself and maybe even try to convince other people, oh, God told me to say this. God told me to do this. But if I'm really honest about it, there's not God in that. That's just me. It's just something I want to do. It's going to serve me. It's going to benefit me. It's not necessarily something that God has called me to do. The reality is God may not be moving that direction, but I am claiming that he's the one that's moving me that way. Well, then how do I know? I mean, how do I know? I mean, if you look at, again, in Nehemiah chapter 2, we'll go back to this verse again, verse 12. Nehemiah says, this is what God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. Like, Nehemiah is convinced this is from God. Okay, great. How do I know? Well, two questions to ask. First question is, what is it that I'm feeling called to do? What actually is it? What is the action? What is the thing that I'm feeling called to do? I need to take an honest look at that. Because if it's something that is self-serving, if it's something that's selfish, if it's something that's honestly sinful, if it's something that's going to create more pride or for me or is going to cause hurt to somebody else, then that's not from God. And I can try to stamp God's name on it, but it's not from him. So what is it that God is that I feel called to do? Is it a godly thing? Is it something that is going to be a blessing to other people? Because ultimately, that's what God has called us to do, right? Love him, love other people. If the thing that I'm trying to say God has put on my heart is not going to help me accomplish either one of those two things, it's probably not from God. So what is it? And then the second question I need to ask is, what is this actually going to produce? What's going to be the result? What's going to be the outcome? The Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 5 says, if I've got God's Spirit in me, and if I'm connected to it, and if I'm connected to the Holy Spirit is not only living in me, but living out of me, here's what the Holy Spirit produces. Here's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So if I feel like God has put something on my heart, some action to take, something to do, not only am I need to be clear about whatever it is this a godly thing? Is this a good thing that God has called me to do? But what is going to be produced from it? Is it going to help me or other people experience God's love? Is it going to bring godly joy to other people? Is it a way for me to show kindness to other people and compassion to other people? Is it going to help me be more patient or create more patience in the lives of others? Is it going to help me be more self-controlled if I change this habit or change this thing in myself that God is calling me to do? Do you see what I'm asking here? These are the questions. These are two very important questions. Just to know, is this really a calling from God? Or is this something that I just want to do and I want God to give me his vote of approval? I need to check my source. Is this from God? And then the last thing I got to do is just start. Do something. Take some action. And if we start in the wrong direction, restart, whatever. Like, let's just start. Don't keep talking about it. I mean, make the plan, but then implement the plan. Be aware of the pitfalls, but don't give in to making excuses because of the pitfalls. Start. Do something. Take action. Take advantage of the opportunity. Begin. Whatever action word you want to use, do something. that sometimes I get so bogged down with trying to prepare for every contingency or trying to think of ahead of time of all the things that could possibly go wrong, or all the ways that this could fail. And I end up just becoming paralyzed almost. I just don't do anything. I don't make the decision. I don't take action. I don't make the change. I don't even get help. Because I'm so wrapped up in all the other things. When God, I think, sometimes is just like, just start. I'll bless it. I'll even fix it. Just start. I've given you gifts. I've given you abilities. I've given you talent. Here's the opportunity. Start. Go. Again, going back to Nehemiah's conversation with the people in Jerusalem when he got there, when he tells them about his plans, what he feels like God is calling them to do. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 18, what does it say again? The last sentence there. So they began this good work. They didn't keep waiting. They didn't keep talking about it. They didn't keep planning. They started. And my guess is, even though it was this amazing feat where they built this wall in less than 2 months, and by the way, we'll talk more about this over the next couple weeks, there were threats to their lives in the process that they had to deal with. And oh, by the way, almost none of them had building experience before. What do they do? Nehemiah said, this is what's on my heart. The people with him said, it's on our heart too. Let's start. Let's just go. Let's just see what happens. Some of us will become so, like, we make these excuses. I'm introverted. I'm a thinker. I'm a planner. And we're almost critical of the people that are like, man, let's just go. Let's do it. And sometimes I think that's what God is calling us to. Make the plan. That's great. Get some help. Be ready. But just start. So, thank you guys for sticking with me this morning. I want to ask you to do something, to do something before we wrap up. You got your bulletins or your Connect card or a scrap piece of paper or your notes app in your phone. You don't have to do this. I'm not making you do this, but here's something you can do right now. I want you to write down, and if you're worried about other people sitting around you seeing or typing out whatever it is, then, I don't know, write a letter that will remind you of what it is, you know, some kind of code. Doesn't matter to me. This is between you and God. But I want you to write down, what is it that God is, what is the burden that God is putting on my heart right now? And I know some of us, as soon as I say that, you're just going to kind of sit there and like, I don't know. I don't have anything to write down. Not because God's not doing it, because I'm not paying attention. I haven't realized. I haven't tuned in. I don't know for sure. But I want to challenge you right now. This is not anything to turn into me. This is just something to help all of us. What is it that God is putting on my heart right now? Is there anything that God is putting on my heart right now? What is it? Have I been ignoring it? Have I been making excuses? What is it that God is putting on my heart right now about my own personal life or getting involved here at church or something outside, maybe something in my office or with my family? What is it? What is God weighing on my heart right now? Write it down. Make a note. And then just to ask yourself, this morning, but maybe throughout this week, what excuses have I been coming up with that have been keeping me from taking action? What's my plan? If it's something that God has put on my heart, what's the plan for it? Who do I need to talk to get some help, to either help me actually do this or just to come alongside me, just encourage me, just to pray for me as I do this particular thing? Let me make sure, is this something that God is actually calling me to? When am I going to start? You see, you can go through those actions with this particular thing that you're writing down right now. But maybe the biggest question that I need to ask as I'm thinking about what is it that God has put in on my heart, what is the burden that God has put in on my heart right now? If I don't sense that, if I don't have something that's weighing on my heart right now, is it just because this isn't the time that God has given me, that God is calling me to something? Or is it because he's calling and I'm just not listening? My heart is so hard, I can't feel it. That became a problem for God's people for centuries. It's still a problem for us today. But throughout the Old Testament, God again and again called his people to leave the lifestyle that they were living and return back to him. And to return back to his laws and return back to the way that he wanted them to live their lives. Not so that he could just hold them under his thumb and be this authoritarian that could look down at them and go, they have to do my will. But because it would actually be the best thing for them. If you will live your lives the way that I'm calling you to, if you will do the things that I am putting on your heart to do, you will be blessed and you will be able to bless others. That's all God had ever wanted for his people. And again, through his prophets and through circumstances, he was calling his people. He was trying to put that weight on their hearts. I'm calling you to something different. I'm calling you to be something different. I'm calling you to do something. And again, they tuned him out. They walked away. They wouldn't do it. Why? Because their hearts were too hard. And one of God's prophets, his name is Ezekiel. God is talking through Ezekiel about all the consequences, all the bad stuff that's going to happen to his people because they keep tuning him out. But there's a message of hope there. Because God says, even when you have to go through these consequences of not listen to me, not doing something with what it is I put on your heart, I'm still going to create the opportunity. I'm not going to wash my hands and walk away and be done with you. He tells his people in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will soften your heart. I will connect with you in a way that you will hear me. And I will be a blessing in your life, and I will enable you. I will empower you to be a blessing to others. But you got to let me into your heart first. Let me overhaul your stony heart. Let me give you a new one. So, the next couple weeks, we're going to talk about doing something. We're going to look at Nehemiah. We're going to continue to look at Nehemiah's life and see how he did what God was leading him to do and what that means for us nowadays. And as we are wrapping up the summertime and as we're getting ready to start the school year and we kind of start settling back when we get to the end of the summer, kind of getting into our routines. And not only to get into our routines, we kind of sometimes get into a rut. This is the time. This is the time to wake up. This is the time to listen. This is the time to tune in. This is the time to feel God's burden on our hearts. What is it that he's calling me to? And if I don't have that connection with him, if I don't have that relationship with him, I'm not going to sense his calling. So here in a second, we're going to stand together and sing a song together. And if you are sitting there this morning, if you have tuned into the words that I've shared with you, then if you recognize there is something that's weighing on my heart and I don't know what to do with it, there's some life changes that need to take place. There's something that I need to do, but I'm scared. There's something that I feel called to do and I've never tried it before. You are welcome to come forward when we stand together and sing and ask for prayers, ask for help. Ask for that connection with God. Ask to reconnect with God so that he can give you that new heart. Let's not walk out of here this morning, folks, with a heart of stone saying God will move somebody else to action. God may be calling you. What are you going to do with that call? How can this church family help? Let us know while together we stand and sing. Come forward if you need.